Banigani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, retired Professor of Psychology, History, and Ethnic Studies from Compton Community College, former City Councilman, former College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. Well, also joining me is historian Joe Embrick, longtime educator, administrator, and one of the first Black coaches in Linwood, head coaches at Linwood High School in football, as well as a college coach. But above all, he's a serious historian on the history of our people from the beginnings all the way up to today, and deeply into the harmful effects of some religious institutions and practices that affects us psychologically. So he's the co-host of the Conscious Corner. We welcome all the people that have chimed in to the Conscious Corner. Tonight we're going to have a community forum, and we want to welcome Brother Mashinda, Sister Linda Shorter, and Kyle Higgins, because we're going to be discussing critical issues that affect us as Black people. A lot of people, we go on living our lives, and sometimes we don't know what's killing us and what's causing us issues. And then we don't know the victories that we have and those that have overcome the various challenges. So tonight we have a number of topics we're going to start discussing. First one we want to start off with is Brittany Griner, that issue, who is a WNBA basketball star, Olympian. She's 6'9" and 200-some pounds, and she's was an all-star in the WNBA. She went over to Russia, and then while searching her bag, they found some hash oil, less than a half gram, and they've been holding her for the last almost over 100 days as a prisoner in Russia. She just pleaded guilty in hopes that could make a deal with one of the Russian prisoners to get her out. One governor is going over there, a negotiator, and try to negotiate that. But the issue is that her wife, she's married to the sister who came on and said that she didn't feel that the Biden administration was working hard. A lot of coaches and professionals also was criticizing America for not working hard, and they was comparing the fact that if she was Tom Brady or LeBron James, that they would work harder. I just wanted to see if there's any feedback and analysis from some of the people that chimed in on what they thought about the case and their understanding. Now, one of the reasons she goes, this is not the first time. Most of the NBA stars, WNBA stars, play abroad because they make more money. I think the league here is about 3 or 4 months. So they go abroad and they make big money. And my understanding that when she went over to Russia, she would make $1 million for that time that she was over there playing. And I know that she's been played in a number of other countries. But at the same time, we want to look at the criticism is that because she is gay and because she's a lesbian, and because she's a Black, that there's not enough effort going on to try to get her home. So we're going to start with Brother Mashinda to see if he has any perspective on this. Brother Mashinda. You,
how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, it's a cold call, you know. My thoughts are, you're going overseas, you got to know where you're going, first of all, you know, it's quick as, to blame and all of that. You know, we understand, it's a matter of perspective on how you feel. I mean, for her to be facing 10 or 15 years behind, a vape device and some oils, some cannabis oils or whatever, I think that's not only excessive, it's ridiculous, you got to be smart in this world and what you're doing. I know she's a young woman. I think her testimony was that she didn't realize she was hurrying up, trying to go. And she, packed up, and I don't know all the details, but it was, it's called poor timing, in terms of bad situation in the world was going on, so she's basically a political prisoner at this time, We're using her, she's a high profile person in the United States. I mean, everybody don't follow the WNBA and basketball. Of course, she's been in the news, but I'm aware of her very well to a certain extent. When that happened, I was like, wow. I said, well, she'll be out. And I thought she, but then I got to thinking, with this situation in the world, the United States is fueling, the Ukrainians with weapons and all kind of different weapon systems and things like that. So she's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. She's just a victim of circumstance. Now again, looking at the laws of the United States versus Russia, I mean, you don't even have to go to Russia. You go down to Mississippi or somewhere, Alabama, and get caught with something. You're going to jail. Now, are you going to get 10 years? Probably not, but they've been handling up on folks like that with these strict rules and strict laws, whether you agree with indulging in cannabis or not. It's being proven that it's a bit, it's ridiculous. It's a bit excessive. So my thoughts are, it's just a political move. Hopefully, one of these so-called dignitaries or former dignitaries, I understand Bill Richardson from, I think he was out of New Mexico. I think he's trying to, he had a little pull in Russia. He's did some negotiations. He's like a chief negotiator, I guess you could say. So maybe he can bring her home. The fact that she's gay, a lesbian, that type of thing, that don't help her, because, you're dealing with Eurocentric mindsets and males, and I don't care if you're in Russia or the United States, they have very synonymous thinking. And, I'm going to just meditate for the young lady, and hopefully, she can make it home to, her family, the people that she deals with, But I don't have anything more to say. It's just a bad situation at a bad time. And, but that's my thoughts for right now. I mean, unless you have a question.
No. I'm going to ask you a question. Just hold on. I'm going to ask everyone who make comments or don't another question. But Linda Shorter, what is your position on this?
Oh, on the lady in prison, yeah. I concur what he's saying, but my thing is, she just better stay in prayer right now and get her life together as soon as she can, whenever she get out of it. Now, I feel bad for the whole situation, but it's reality. She is Black and the lady is gay, but still, just stay in prayer, sister girl.
Okay. Well, what about Kyle Higgins?
Yeah. Hello. I just, with the Brittany Griner thing, it's like, everyone is saying it's a horrible situation for her to be in. And, the political aspect is what has brought attention to it. The fact that she is an athlete, right, and a high-profile athlete even before this incident, a lot of us that follow sports know about Brittany Griner. So, and the thing is it's what is the exchange? You know, if you look at it like a chessboard, she would be a pawn, because if you're putting this girl in prison for what she had, like the first gentleman said, yes, it's against the law, right? But it's like, okay, what are we exchanging in the United States to get her out of prison, right? The person that the Russians will probably want is not going to be a Russian athlete. And that's what is so horrible about it. She's a political prisoner being used as a pawn to get someone who is probably very dangerous out of an American jail and sent back to Russia. And that's what I think. If I'm wrong, then but that's what I think. That's why I feel for the young lady.
Okay, Kyle. Thanks for that comment. Mm-hmm. What about you, Brother Joe? Your perspective. Brother Hembrick, are you there? Big Joe?
I'm sorry, I had to unmute myself. Yeah, you know, you gotta know the laws of where you're going. You know, and I'm sure she knew. I don't know if she was able to slide by with it in the past, but you know, you go through customs, man. They looking at you everything. So, you know, the sister, I don't know what her mind frame is about that. She claims she just overlooked it. But, you know, you've been there before. You know, this wasn't her first time going there. You know, she know the deal. Anyway, just like Brother Higgins said, you know, Putin is going to use it as a political tool to get a prisoner or get some reparations drawback off of him or something of that nature. You know, United is hard. It's hard to negotiate someone's release when you're selling the person I'm fighting bombs and missiles and stuff. So it's a tough situation. You know, we just have to be more cognizant of what we're doing. And you see what the brothers went through with the sunglasses over there in China. So it's always something. And, you know, they're always watching us. So we have to be particularly cautious. I don't care how big of a star you are or think you are. But over there, you know, it's no big thing. I guess she was big. They was paying her about $1 million, you say. But, you know, it's just tough. I want to see how long it's going to play out. But even, you know, but even here in America, if she was in Texas or Mississippi, Alabama, someplace like that, you know, she still may be in jail behind that. Ain't no telling, just depending on where you are. So anyway, you have to watch what you do. You have to be cognizant of where you are, what you do, and how the people are where you are, and their laws and regulations. Because you can, just like in Texas, you know, you better not be caught throwing no paper on the ground. But here in California, people eat burgers and fast food and toss stuff right out the window. In Texas, that'll get you a $10,000 fine. And they ain't playing about that. So you kind of got to know where you are. But anyway, hopefully it'll work out before too long and it can be resolved.
All right, thanks, Joe. Rashiki?
Yeah, what Brother Higgins said, this is the person that maybe they may want to trade her for, this guy right here. And I think he was on it. Victor Bout, and they call him the death merchant, the merchant of death. And he has a narco-terrorism charge here in the United States. So, yeah, that's all. Everybody pretty much said what I was going to say. Only had a few things to say, but it was already said. So that's the person that they, you know, Russian state media and officials have reportedly floated the trading Griner or Whalen for. And it's another guy, Whalen, over there in Russia, that they also want to bring home back to the United States. So the guy that they're looking at, Russia, is Victor Bout. Okay, that's all.
Well, let me just ask a couple questions and see a response those that have chimed in. First of all, you know, they've already, in the midst of this, and after she was arrested, they negotiated and got one young man, white man, home. So there is room for negotiation to get her home. But second, what if Trump got involved? He has a relationship with Putin. It would destabilize the political image of Trump. Would that change the political view of Trump if he was to use his relationships with the Russians and bring her home just because he's getting ready to run for president again? Do you think that would help get a lot of people to vote for him again if he was to do that, in spite of what he's going through with regards to these hearings? And is there a possibility of him getting involved, do you think? What do you think, Machinda? You there, Machinda?
I'm here. I think you raised a great question there, Professor. It's no doubt that that's how politics is played, you know, any angle that you can get, you know. So I wouldn't doubt if he's already involved and already communicating. And, you know, and setting up himself for, you know, for a run. You know, of course, he's in court right now and all that. So those facts remain to be, you know, seen right now, how that's going to play out, you know, in terms of criminal or what have you. But in the meantime, it's no question that Donald Trump will use every play that he can, and Putin, and this is just my opinion, is, you know, very sophisticated and wise to that, you know. And I use that lightly. I don't think they're evil being. But yeah, the answer to your question is, and some people will turn to Trump, you know, black people. You know, a lot of, you know, quite a few black people voted for Trump when he ran, you know. And I'm one that, of course, didn't vote for him. But I had sense enough to know that the way, I call it, the way the sheep ran, I said he could have walked in backwards if he wasn't. And of course, I know this conversation is not totally about Donald Trump. But my opinion is he could have walked in backwards as a president again, because that's how people think. You know, it's easily swayed, you know, that kind of thing. So the answer to your question is yes, Professor, that it definitely, this case definitely may come up again, and Trump may be involved in making some decisions and negotiating. Because remember, you had Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, you know, going to the White House and free whoever, you know. You don't have to name names. Just they went there. And of course, these characters appeal to a certain crowd. Now, this is a universal situation. It's worldwide. It's a global situation going on. It's a war going on. You got Brittany Griner. People that didn't know Brittany Griner, they know her now. And so she's a black woman. Yeah, she's a lesbian and all that. But still, they have this person up here. And so I don't doubt, I'm not going to say that. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump gets involved in this. You know, but he's got to deal with his current situation. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets involved in this, just to get an angle in what he's trying to do for his future.
Sister Linda, you think if Trump got involved and was successful in getting her home, that would change black women's vote for him?
Anything to do with Trump, I have no idea where that food come from. I have no comment at all when it comes to Trump.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Except he's an idiot. That's all I can tell you. And narcissist.
Go ahead. Okay. Brother Kyle Higgins.
Will people just, I hope not. I hope that those who want to vote for Trump, those who don't, fine. But I'm just like, I hope that something that small will not sway someone's like voting politics, right? I remember when I was young, a lot of the people, the comedians, a lot of people talked about how they sent Jesse Jackson over there and he brought back those prisoners because he wasn't he wasn't in office. So he had the ability to do that. So I think about that situation. I was young, so I don't know what it did for him as a candidate, because I don't know if he ran after that. Or if he ran before and he still had like political power, but freeing this young lady does not change his political views and his political stance. So hopefully the people aren't like people aren't sheep, like the man said, and they use their logic and reason to make their decisions when it comes time to vote.
All right then. All right, what about you, Joan?
And I hate wasting any breath on that sucker, but you know,
I hate you.
Number one, him nor the Russians give a doggone about, you know, the LGBTQ community. Both of them are anti. I think they might put you to death in Russia if they find out that you are. I don't put nothing past Trump. He think he's Adolf Hitler reincarnated. And I won't even get into the stuff he got off on in his life as a human being. But anyway, nothing surprised me in politics and religion and pimping. Nothing surprises me. So, rather not even deal with it. I want to see if they're going to convict him here for the stuff he did, which I doubt. But, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm still of the mindset, I don't suffer from the illusion of inclusion when it comes to those subjects. Anything can happen. But I remember when Trump first ran, I said I wasn't going to spend no time on him, but I bet a friend of mine $100 that he was going to win, you know, the a Republican nomination, and he didn't think he was, but I said he's saying exactly what white folks want to say and can't say. So anyway, I'm done with him. Going to the next subject or person, Rasha Key.
Yeah, Brother Rasha Key, what do you think?
If he does get involved and be successful, he will use that. And he will sway weak-minded people, you know, to vote for him. I think it would benefit him if he did get involved. That's just how it is. Now, like Joe was saying, when he first ran for president, it was a joke to me. It was really a joke. I'm like, are you serious? This guy that just had The Apprentice, you know, as a show, and you're fired? Yeah, I just thought it was a big joke. And then when he became president, and I think the point was made clear, he appealed to the people that do want things to go back the way they were. And that's a lot of people that they just don't want to see it, you know, that being white people mostly. And then you have your crowd of these Negroes that's just gonna, you know, do whatever it takes to get a dollar. So yeah, he would use it in his favor for sure. And I think people would go for that. Gullible, weak-minded people. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you know, people sometimes it's challenging for a lot of people to understand the role of politics. You know, some people say politics is war without violence, and some people say war is politics with violence. There are, as you pointed out, and thank you, Roskiew, the young man, the Russian that they got in prison, America has, who they label the terrorists and this and that, that he had 25-year sentence and you may negotiate. But the issue is that it would embarrass Biden administration terribly if he was successful and if he got involved based on his relationship with Russia. You know, it's not about Britney, it's about him. It's always about him. He's not doing it for her and he's not doing it for Black people. He's doing it because it would benefit him, as many of you have pointed out. And then the second thing is that, you know, it's a issue with Russian people and their struggles and their negotiation, and because you have them with all these sanctions, so they can, you know, they got a lot of room. The question is, the criticism is, Biden, is he doing everything he can and moving as fast as he can? Now, he's arguing that it's very difficult to work with the Russians under these circumstances that people have brought out, but other people like the governor of New Mexico is going over there. And that's one of the criticisms her wife is saying, even though he called her wife and told her that he's doing everything he possibly can. But people look at Biden as a very weak president. And if Trump was to get involved and was successful, I'm not saying he is going to get involved. I'm not even saying he's thinking this way, but you never know. The point is, you got to think of all avenues by which people would take advantage of this situation. Now, as far as Griner bringing some hash oil, less than a half gram, they wouldn't even waste no time with you if you was in this country. She was bringing it over there. So it's obvious, as Joe pointed out, that she probably been doing it wherever she went. If it's hers personally. I know a lot of professional athletes and entertainers, they take drugs with them all kind of ways. You know, they put it in different stuff and they get past the dogs, they get past everything. I mean, people that use drugs, you know, they find a way to get them in. So, although she said she was Russian packing and she overlooked it, but, you know, most of us don't think that that was the issue. It's just a question of her bringing her, she's trying to get into Russia. They busted her not coming out, like she was smuggling drugs out. Like if you was in Mexico coming out, but she was going in, and that, like they say, they make more money because they don't make that much during the season with the WNBA. Well, they make some money, but they don't make as much. The season's real short, and so they go overseas and play. And most of the NBA is bringing in international players. So let's just, hope that she do get out, because her biggest fear is that they won't never let her out as long as the war is going on, or possibly you got to do the whole 10 years. And that's unfortunate, because Russians are white people and they're the embodiment of evil. And so it's hardball. It's seriously hardball. So we hope that she get out, and we hope that she get the support from the Biden administration, and that he really, really be a little bit more aggressive about getting her out. White people are criticizing him, saying that he called her, and so then he had to call some more white people because they were saying, you know, they wanted the same treatment and they wanted their relatives home. So it's a struggle and it's a challenge, but we just can, if you pray for, and if you hope for, it's unfortunate that she, you know, have made that decision. And as Joe was saying that, you know, we can criticize her for making the mistake, but, you know, going to a country at war with your country or the country you live in is, and even for the money, may have been, should have been more thoughtful that, hey, maybe I shouldn't even go over there to play, even though the money is enticing. And that's about it with regard to her. But at the same time, I do think that there are people that would take advantage of it for political gains to get her home. All right, we're going to move on to the next subject, which is about Jaylen Walker of Akron, Ohio, shot 60 times. I think that was his name. Yeah, by the Akron police. They didn't fire them, I understand, the police officers that did the shooting. The mayor and his family are asking for calm. People are demonstrating. I wanted to get the analysis of some of y'all about that shooting. If you want to go back to Brittany, you're welcome. But I'm going to start with, is Machinda still there? What do you think about that shooting in Akron, Ohio, Brother Machinda?
Oh, man. I got a call the next day, actually. Got a good friend of mine, very good friend of mine that lives there, and called me, and she asked me, did I know what had happened? And I didn't at that time, you know. Hadn't been really paying attention to a lot of news, you know, to a certain extent, you know, news briefs. But anyway, I hadn't heard that. It had just happened. And so she was telling me about the, you know, the setup, the protests, and there's a lot of organizations, you know. She's a member of the Nation of Islam. So she's like saying there, you know, so everybody's like trying to keep a peaceful protest and all that. So everybody was like going into position to try to offset. You know, I think they had bought into that. Now, I hadn't been watching it on the news, but in terms of the guy, you know, police is in hot pursuit of this individual, a brother. He's flying. They after him. I don't know what's going through his mind. I know what's going through the policeman's mind, probably because we've just seen things play out over and over again. Is, you know, they get pissed off. People think it's a joke, but they really get mad when they got to chase you because their adrenaline's running and they tripped out and whatever. And a lot of them ain't even built like that. They got that gun, so they're going to jump out like the stormtroopers. This guy was running. Well, they said, you know, they saw evidence of, you know, him firing at him while the car was in motion. I'm like, that's a hell of a thing to do while you're driving. But then you can, I don't know. But they said then they found a bullet casing and all. I said, wow, they found that real quick. You know, they matched it to the gun already. I mean, they were announcing this stuff. So at the end of the day, all I can say is, the brother's running. I know we talk, I know Brother Rasaki, he quite frequently bring up the codes, you know, our elder brother that, you know, he be talking about, you know, the codes, you know, like, hey, stop, be cool. Well, what was going on? So I don't know. I hate it when a brother gets, anybody get killed, let alone a black person, you know, it hits me every time. However, with this brother here, he was running, he turned around and they blasted him 60, put 60 holes in him. Well, what I heard that so-called police chief said, every bullet got to be accounted for. Like, why did you shoot that next bullet and that next one and the next one? And so everybody fired or whatever. So I don't know. I think that was excessive. You know, they're trained. I don't know, is it dark? They can't see? You know, I'm not going to, you know, justify it for nobody. But we know that a lot of times we don't win those arguments in a lot of cases. We don't win those arguments. It's a travesty, you know, and that's, you know, but that's why we're talking about the struggle. You know, that's part of our struggle is dealing with that criminal justice system and how they do things, you know, and these police forces, you know, like you say, it ain't about being anti anything. It's about doing what's right, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, treating citizens equally. Like they took that young man from in the Highland Park, Illinois, killing next to Chicago. You know, he went unscathed. You know, people talk about that. Well, people think alike. They say, yeah, you and I would have been, you know, blown up. Let us try to bum rush the Capitol and all of that. You're gonna run into some problems. So anyway, double standard, a lot going on, and that's all I can say. But I pray for the family. You know, I hope the family's doing well. You know what I mean? I just try to, you know, because it's a lot going on in this world. But, you know, was it right or wrong? Hey, 60 times, I'm waiting to hear more. I'm waiting to hear more, you know, like in court or whatever, to see, like, what was their justification for blasting 60 times? I can see you blasting him if he's turned around. You'd have told him to stop, and he had a gun. He was shooting. If you can prove all that, so we'll see how it comes out. But we know history, and I think that's why it's important to know history. People don't realize, you know, things that happened before can happen again. And you know, so anyway, that's my thoughts.
Well, he was unarmed. You know, the gun was in the car. It wasn't on him. Brother Kyle, Linda, we'll go with Linda, then Kyle, then we'll ask.
I'm just in agreement with what he just said about it was a double standard and it was excessive force for no reason.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brother Joe, you have a comment on it? You're on mute, Brother Joe.
I'm referring back to Neely Fuller's code about running, you know, when you get stopped, you know, running and mouthing off and all. Is your life worth a ticket citation? Come on, man. You ain't going to outrun them radios, no way. So I don't know why people continue to run from them. You know, it's not a good exchange at all, a ticket versus your life. Come on. And the cops was wrong for shooting that many times, but don't put yourself in the situation is my thing, you know. But anyway, feel sorry for his family. I just one more that they continue to do. If you give them any excuse for it, you know they're going to do it. So. Unless you Bob Hayes or Carl Lewis, just standing there. I don't even think they can get away from them bullets. So it's just a poor exchange of the situation. So that's all I got to say.
Roger Key?
Yes, we didn't get Brother Cal, and then I go after Brother Cal Higgins.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a horrible story. It's just I listen, you know, and I'm like, I don't know how they think that they can still keep getting away with the narrative of we lived all these years, 20 plus, 25, 30 plus years, and we just get stupid all of a sudden and we want to put our life in jeopardy. That's the narrative they keep trying to show, that like we live this long surviving in this society, and then one day we just wake up and say, you know what, I feel like going out here and threatening the police and losing my life. Like that narrative has to stop, because the world sees that it's not true. So that's all I have to say. That's really all I have to say.
You said a lot, brother, right there. Go ahead, Brother Rashiki.
Well, it's the same old story. And I think I can't say it enough. Neely Fuller Jr. with the counter-racist codes. Brother Mashenda, Brother Joe, both mentioned it. The three F's, don't fuss, don't fight, don't flee, because it has proven not to work almost every time. You know, it'll be, if we look at a percentage of how many of us get away with doing that, with running, fighting, or fleeing the police, how many of us is get away? I think we batting at maybe 10 out of 100, maybe. I don't know. It's just, it's, this is exactly why we're doing what we're doing, because it has to come to a point where the mindset has to change totally, because it doesn't work. We are at war. We're in a war right now. The war is against white supremacy racism. And that, I have reached that conclusion, you know, through all of my studying. So you just can't keep doing the same thing expecting for it to change. And it has, what initiated them to chase the person in the first place? Why was he weren't running? Something he did, or his mentality was shaken, I guess, just by them pulling him, trying to pull him over. That's why he ran. But evidently something was wrong in the beginning. So this is why it's our responsibilities as elders, as educators, to keep putting this information out there that's going to help you live longer and change our situation. You just can't do that. You can't run from these people, because they have the ability to catch you. And then when they catch you, it's known that they kill you. Enough said. I'm not saying anything else. And go all day with this craziness. All right.
Well, let me just put a few things in perspective. He had a ski mask. The police said they thought that he shot in the car. They saw a flash. And they tried to show some in the video. I didn't see no flash, but anyway. Then he took off running. And then they shot him 60 times. They shot 70 or 80 times and it hit him 60. It was 8 police officers. I've been fighting police killings going back to, you know, Leonard Deadweiler in 1968. And then Tony Wilkins and then Roland Peterson at Cal State Long Beach, and Ron Settle, deep, and even Latasha Harden, I was involved in that, all that. But they kill Black people even when they don't run. There was a brother in New York, I could give the African name, he was reaching for his wallet and they shot him 40 times, so he wasn't even running. There was another brother they took in the police station and stuck a plunger up his rectum. Police use Black targets when they're practicing target practice. The national law, which we were a part of making and demonstrating for, is you're not supposed to shoot a fleeing suspect. Only time you're supposed to shoot somebody is when they are a threat to you or a threat to a civilian. Now, they said they thought he turned around and reached for his buckle, and because there was a shot in the car, they say he had a ski mask on. After they shot him 60 times, they handcuffed him. If you shot an animal 60 times, the animal rights group would still be on you. They immediately put the officers on administrative leave with pay. My understanding, they have removed the firearm. They have an independent prosecutor coming in, or investigator, to determine what's going on. Friday night, one of his relatives, 4 years old, was shot. Her and this other young man, they were out setting out balloons in memory of a brother that had got shot and killed in 2021. And they were out, you know, commemorating that. Somebody drove up and did some shooting. I think the young girl was a relative of the young man that got shot 60 times, according to the news. The issue is that we as people, as you say, police using camouflage of law to justify killing Black people, blaming the victim, has been a historical thing. The role of us is also to, you know, and sometimes we buy into it, and like we say, well, Reiner shouldn't have never had no drugs on her and all that. But, you know, it could have been drugs without a prescription or whatever. But, and then the same thing with this young man. Don't run, don't do this. We don't know why he was running other than fear of police. As Rasha Key said, we have in a war. Embarrassed because, you know, he was supposed to have been such a good young man and getting stopped by the police. This was for a citation. It wasn't like they was coming up and they spotted his car and was in a robbery or a murder or a drive-by. This was, they was trying to pull him over. They called for bag up because he started running in the car. He didn't just run in the, when he got out the car, he was running before. And then when the car stopped, he jumped out on the drive, on the passenger side, started running. Then after they shot him 60 times, they hang him up. Then they go back to the car. And then they say they found a gun with a spent shell and a ring. The ring was for his fiance or something. But the point is that there's an argument that the gun may have been in the back seat and the police put it in the front seat and took the pictures. The question is a lot of issues. The mother and father are very religious. They call on people, you know, hey, look, we don't want no violence. We don't want nothing. Nothing like that. And we just want justice. And so we are for the demonstration, but be peaceful. And you got the police officers saying, listen, let's all be peaceful. Let's wait for the investigation. We got an independent investigator come in, and we're going to fire the police that did the shooting, because almost every professional police officer that they interviewed on CNN, MSNBC, saying that you don't shoot 60 times at nobody, especially after you didn't hit them. I mean, and then handcuff a dead person. It didn't add up as far as professional police are concerned. Now, you know, because they said they thought they saw a shot, maybe they, you know, thought that he still had the gun on him when he was running. But at the same time, they didn't even have to chase him. They had the car. You know, it wasn't stolen. And, you know, I mean, that's what they generally do. And as Rasha Key or somebody said, the young man that shot up Harlem Park, you know, he killed people. And they didn't even shoot him when they was chasing him, when they pulled him over. He surrendered, of course. And then one cat that shot up the church, and they took him and got him a hamburger. White boy. A number of white people with mass killings, they've arrested. The others shot themselves. Even the one that went into the Uvalde school, police said he could have shot him. Some people said they had a chance to shoot him when he was going into the school with the gun. And the officer said he was waiting on permission. So there's a double standard, as Linda said. But the issue is that we as a people have to stay as conscious as we can, vigilant as we can. And we commend the people that's out there demonstrating and putting them on notice that this was wrong. It's wrong as two left shoes. Even if he had a gun, you don't shoot him 60 times. But he didn't have a gun when he was running. So the analysis is that, as Rotsky said, you may not be at war, but you're in a war. And this has happened so many times. Black people losing their lives unnecessary. Either by being careless with their thoughts, by running or talking back, or either just police just mad and just did it. Look, I mean, police, they think were a part of the assassination of Biggie and Tupac. They believe police were involved, LAPD, and others, you know, no one has been held accountable. But that, anyway, so that's a good analysis. Thank everybody for that perspective with regards to, actually, anybody else have any other comment, thought of anything else they may didn't say and want to make a comment on that case before we move to the next one? All right. The next thing is this abortion and Black women health. Even though we mostly men on, I think Linda had to go and she texted me and said she's working on a grant, she had to leave. But we as men have to be just as concerned about abortion as women. Because they're aborting children that we may have impregnated, the young ladies, one, second. These are our daughters, our nieces, our mothers. We should have a voice in it and an understanding in it, especially the way it affects Black women. The law is that the Supreme Court has ruled that they sent everything back to the states, especially some states that still think they're in the Civil War and never accepted democracy and never accepted the defeat. They still fly the Confederate flag and they still see themselves as independent. But they send things back to the state for decisions. And they have trigger laws in some of these southern and what they call red states, that as soon as it come back to them, no matter what the situation is, incest, rape, you can be a 12-year-old girl and get somebody impregnate you and you want to get an abortion, you can't. You could be sick with cancer and can't get radiation, because it would kill the baby. And that's a form of abortion. They blame you. Some states have laws saying that if a doctor performs it, they can go to prison and be fined. They've started vigilante groups. Whereas if you know of anybody that assists in any way a woman getting an abortion, you can be fined or in prison or sued. The other thing is that it's strictly a religious belief about the conception of when a baby is or when soon as a baby is, or as soon as the young lady is fertile, that constitutes a live birth, even though it may be a month old or 2 weeks old, whatever. But this is just a Christian belief, because other religions believe different things. But this is something that Trump organized, that they've been working on for years, to get a Supreme Court that would overthrow women's rights to choose if they want to get an abortion or not. Now, this was a law, Roe versus Wade or whatever, Wade versus Roe. For 50 years, this has been a right of women to make that decision. They chipped away at it here and there. But that has been the federal law that women should make the decision. They looked at that as a part of women's rights. Now, when one of the civil rights laws, Ferguson versus Ferguson, when it was Tunney, I think, was the court that ruled that separate but equal. And then there was another Supreme Court ruling on race that they changed. But they're trying to equate that with abortion, that those other Supreme Court laws that suppressed Black people and they changed it. So how come they can't change this abortion law? I don't know how many of you young men have thought about it, but if a woman have a baby that, or you impregnate someone and you're not gonna marry him and you didn't mean to get him pregnant, that it affects you because child support starts right then and there. And you and the young lady want to get an abortion, but it's against the law. So those are the Presley versus Ferguson. Thanks, Rafiki, 1896. So those are some of the issues. I'd like to get some of y'all's opinion about the issue of Black women and abortions and the effect that it has, because rich people can travel. They can go to states that deal with it. So, Mashinda, how do you feel about this abortion law? Or do you have an opinion at all? You on mute, Mashinda.
He just came back in. He was gone for a minute.
Okay. Brother Kyle?
My opinion, well, it's the fact that it's been it's so political now. You know, in my viewpoint, the Supreme Court decided to send it back to the states, and it's a call to say, like, you know, if you're in a state that doesn't allow abortions, right? I heard the district attorney from Atlanta, right, and Georgia is a state that allows abortions, was talking about how they weren't going to, you know, they weren't going to prosecute any abortions. And I'm like, you can say that when you're in a state that allows abortions, right? But if you're in one of the other states that do not, what do you do? Like you're already behind the front line, right? So do you get up and move? Because like if they keep creating laws that are not beneficial to how you want to live your life, after a while you decide to either get up and leave or just be stuck in that situation. And if you're going to continuously be stuck in that situation, if you yourself are not trying to make change, then there's really nothing more to say about that. Because like you said, rich people can get up and leave. If you're in a situation where you're already on the bottom, getting up and going somewhere else, how is that's better for you? I'm not seeing how people are still fighting that situation. That's what I'm thinking about this, because they left it up to the states to make their decisions. And if you're in a state that is going against decisions that you want politically, then in my viewpoint, you get up and you leave that state eventually.
What happens is, mm-hmm. there are always laws, people break laws all the time. This is law against murder, people still kill. This is law against stealing, people still steal. Law against transporting drugs, people still transport them. So because you say they can't get an abortion, don't mean people ain't gonna still try to get them where they are. And that's what the women are saying, that women are going to have to go back into alleys, go back and find people that perform abortions, use coat hangers, and women are going to die.
I'm sorry, I hear that. And all I can think of is, then what's the bigger issue, right? You know, is the bigger issue actual abortions, or what is leading to that situation in a society? What is the bigger issue? Because if it women have totally, every woman has a different reason for why she's getting an abortion or she's going to abortion clinic, right? And we always go to just the most negative aspect of it. The molestation, incest, rapes, things like that. Some women have different other reasons for why they are having an abortion. So I think what's the more underlining issue of it, right? Is it women are having abortions because there's all these rapists and incests out there? So then we need to figure out that issue. Or is it that women are having abortions because they other issues? They cannot afford to keep a child, right? They don't want to bring a child into this world, right? They're not ready for it. These are other situations that are societal reasons that I think we need to explore more than the idea of just the final outcome, which is the abortion aspect. What are we doing before that situation comes up to change this total outcome? And that's what I'm thinking.
Well, the issue is not the abortion, Brother Kyle. The issue is that women feel that it's their right to make that decision, that the Supreme Court should not impose their religious beliefs, because that's what it is. Evangelical Christians and Catholics don't believe in it. On everybody, because a lot of people don't go to church and don't believe in that. And there's supposed to be separation of church and state. But most people believe that this was strictly a religious movement by the evangelicals that put big money in to get these Supreme Court justices that would do that. And most women that do get abortion already have kids. But as you pointed out, it was just, they don't even want to bring them in the world because of economic reasons, or they just don't feel like they can handle kids. You know, they had three or four, and that's it. When there was no birth control, many of our parents had 7, 8, 12, 13 kids. But since birth control and birth conceptives, whatever. Women feel that, hey, look, this is our right, this is our body, and we shouldn't have a Supreme Court telling us what to do And that's our decision. Now they have a situation where they said even if it costs the woman life, she can't get an abortion if she has a baby and she has died. So, you know, they're saying that, you know, this is their right. So that's what the major issue is, Brother Kyle. You have a response to that?
No, I agree with you. I think it's the women's right, and the Supreme Court is putting, like, the issue, to me, back to the states. And that's how I'm saying it, right there. And in the states, it's who these states are electing as their officials. So in California or Georgia or some of these, in states like this that we live in, a vast majority of the society, which is like you said, understands that it's the woman's right. And the idea of it is it's religion, right? But then in them other states, they take the idea of religion as the truth. So how do you have conversations with those people who, in essence, like you're saying, it becomes dogma, right? Whatever is religion is the truth over everything else. So you can't, and having that conversation is what I'm trying to say is within those states, it is a very difficult situation where, like you said, they still fly the Confederate flag, right? They still have these things in these states. So, like, if this is a war, as we talked about earlier, do we abandon those states and say, our people, we need to get out of these states and go to places like Georgia? Or as people are going to Georgia and Texas, turning those states into from red to blue. That's the question, I'm sorry, that I'm talking about, that I think is deeper than, like, do we just keep fighting for these small little territories? Or do we say, you know what, this is yours? Because if we have more people in Georgia, then we have more Congress members. We have more people that can go to the polls. We have more people that can make decisions that affect the nation as a whole, then instead of fighting for these little small territories that we are vastly losing in every election. That's.
Appreciate that analysis. Machinda, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I had some audio issues, but yeah, I don't have much to say. It's just another hot button item, serious one. And it's basically, like you say, I think it's going to hurt, you know, our communities. You know, there's a lot going on. So it's definitely going to have an adverse effect on our communities, our young women, especially, you know, whether someone believes in abortion or not, you know, you just don't flip the script, you know, and say, okay, no more abortion, you know. And like the brother was saying earlier, like, what are the underlying problems, you know? What are the systemic issues that occur to where we get pregnant in the first place, you know? Of course, unprotected sex is first. Because if you protect it, it's a good chance that you're not going to get pregnant. So if you're going to have sex, you know, so is it being taught? Is it part of curriculum? Is it part of, you know, and it's so it's there's breakdowns, you know, in communication and understanding. And therefore, you know, our young people are, in, you know, and older people too, some of them, you know, a little older, you know, I mean, not the elders, but the youngsters, they get exposed to, when they're ignorant, they don't know, you know, oh man, they're in for a ride, you know, and so, but yeah, I don't think personally, whether it's for or against, it don't matter. It's more or less if the law was changed, you don't flip the script like that. You got to fix these systemic issues where, you know, make it a what they call a equal, give us an equal footing, you know, equal playing field, you know, and then, you know, we can start talking about having, you know, discussions about things. But, you know, when you do that, you know, we know that from history that it ain't so much they're in love with life. You know, they're having wars all the time and killing folks.
And then the death penalty, the same folk that say no abortion, they believe in the death penalty, you know, taking people out, you know. So it's a lot of, you know, it's the hypocrisy in that, if you believe that they are really concerned, you know, it's the ultimate of what's going on. You know, it's like, hey, you know, so anything, everybody's looking for an angle and one or two or three up, 10 up over the next one. And they are notorious for it, meaning that, so I know Louisiana, on the news this morning, Louisiana's Secretary of State basically said what the young brother just said earlier. He said, you know, hey, it's written. So if you don't like it here, you know, you can move. You have free to move to another state. That's what he was saying. You can move. And that's what they're talking about in Louisiana, you know, far from the government. You know, they have you know, the governor, you know, he's, I believe, a Catholic. And but he still, as a Catholic, tried to, you know, but it was, you know, he's overwhelmed. These folks down here, they got it going on, you know, no matter if they Democrat, they lighten the load a little bit when they Democrat, I guess. They kind of, you know, they're more, I guess they'll throw a few bones, you know, but man, they're tough, you know, they're senators and everything. It's just amazing. So, I mean, and that's just the microcosm of the Louisiana, you know, who they represent, the people who voted for you know, all these guys and, you know, get these constituencies and in, and then you get this, you pick the Supreme Court, you know? And so the Supreme Court, look at Clarence Thomas. They were basically saying he's a, you know, what they want to recall Clarence Thomas. They said, you know, you got a petition now. I don't know if they know. I don't know about that. I thought they were lifetime once they're in, you know, so you can recall all you want. But the bottom line is these people are placed in there to support these ideologies. It's a chess game. And so they're winning the chess game right now. They got the, you know, they you know, they have more members to vote. You know, it's like any city council or any governmental, you know, situation where, you know, hey, it's 5-4, 6-2, whatever, you know, it's mathematics. And so, and then they get to put, and then a lot of, sometimes things are fixed. It's by design. And we think, you know, hey, this was fair, but you know, it's, you know, so anyway, I'm pretty much done with that. You know, I think it's like I say, they're going to use this to do a lot of damage. That's all I can say. And whether you support abortion or not, you know, it's going to do a lot of damage.
You know, there are two issues. One is the religious imposition. The other is that white folks' population is dwindling. And they're trying to keep women to keep their babies because their potency level is zero to each woman. And the matter of fact, one lady running for Congress said, this will help white lives, white lives grow or something like that. And then she apologized. You have to think about that also from that perspective. Brother Joe, how do you think about abortion? Are you there? You on mute? Why are you doing Rasha Key? You have a position.
Well, I was talking to a brother who used to come on when we first started this. And I said that, and just like Brother Higgins said, there's so many different circumstances when it comes to women being pregnant, how it happened. And it's just a wide range of things that could have happened that caused the pregnancy. And what do you do when it comes to the dangers of having a child when it comes to the woman's life? You know, that's one issue. Like you guys mentioned, you have incest, you know, fathers, uncles, or whoever impregnating girls, and rapists, You know, it's just so many things that's involved. It's kind of difficult to say, no, you shouldn't get an abortion when the situation is so terrible, you know, and how you got pregnant. And I would lean more towards the right to choose versus, no, you can't get an abortion. So there's a lot of situations where it's very touchy. And then you, Professor Ra, you always mention the poverty of some women. And, you know, you having all these children, you're not able to take care of them. It's just a very sticky situation. And of course, being in a system that we're in, it's always going to lead towards the rich and powerful and the white supremacy and racism. It's going to lean towards them and their ability to do whatever they want to do since they're in power. So, you know, we're in a constant fight for survival, and that's just one of the, as Mashinda was saying, that's one of the tactics that they're using. So that's about it.
Yeah, and appreciate what you said, if I understand correctly. You know, it's about, you know, the cold-blooded thing is that that's not even the major issue to people. Women's rights, abortion rights, healthcare. The issue is economics. It's always economics in this country. Inflation is the number one issue. Not even the war in Ukraine. It's all about I'm paying too much for gas and paying too much for food. But, you know, I remember when we used to go to the store with $50, it'd take us, we'd come back with about 10 bags of groceries. Potatoes was 5 cents, about 10 cents a bag and all that. Now you go in there with $100, you come out with a bag and a half. You know, everything always keep going up. But the point is that when we look at abortions, do we support women being the ones to make that decision? And do we continue to struggle to get those rights back for women? Or do we concede that, you know, hey, look, you shouldn't have got pregnant anyway. Even if it is a problem, had a baby and then take it to the fire department. You'd be surprised at the mentality of people. And even if it's incest or whatever, you know, punish the guy that did it and still you had the baby? Or is it a situation where the parent of the child, if she's pregnant, or the young lady said, look, I just found out I'm pregnant. I picked a test. I got 4 kids. I was out at a party. We got the drinking and smoking. I met one of them cats with a 6-pack, and he, you know, I just gave him some, and I ended up pregnant. But I'm not, you know, I can't work. I can't do this. Or a lady that said, "Look, I had 3 babies. All of them came back unhealthy. I don't want to bring one back." Sex is a compulsion that nature gave humans. The whole purpose of sex is to reproduce. People turn it into a freakathon, you know, and things of this nature. The orgasm is your reward for reproduction. But now it's been turned into same-sex activity, and, you know, it's about not who you have sex with, it's how much sex you have. run from woman to woman to woman to woman to man to man to man to man. And then you get caught, y'all. But the point is, they're talking about putting people in jail and prison for getting an abortion. And is that the right of the woman? So those are the issues. And then in Ukraine, they're accepting those immigrants into this country without any procedures. They don't have to be checked. They don't have to say they're escaping war or anything. But people of color are lined up at the border and they won't let them in. Under a law that says, well, it's because of COVID. But when it came to the Ukrainians who are white, they don't even test them. But you know, so you see the hypocrisy, as Malcolm said. It's not democracy, it's hypocrisy. And that's the same thing with abortion. Is it about population development, not suppression? Suppression the Black people and the people of color. But we got to get more white folks in the country. And we got to get more women having babies. Is that the issue? And then the religious issue of being able to enforce their will on others by supporting a person that's not even religious, but will support their religious views. A person that is an adulteress, but who swore, I'm going to put judges on that support a ban on abortion or roll back the abortion law. A person that's a proven liar, now an insurrectionist, and he's bragging that, hey, look, I did what I told you I was going to do. I was going to appoint judges that would roll back Roe v. Wade, Roe versus Wade, abortion law. And that's what's going on. So we have to stay vigilant, as Brother Higgins said, and Machinda's right on it too. You know, it's a power play, and we have to work on it. Okay, Rasha, keep close us out and tell us who's going to be on Wednesday.
All right. Let's share the screen. We have Brother Rio. And it's going to be a panel discussion. So it's going to, how to curb the violence amongst the youth. So that should be interesting. Going to talk about youth violence and probably going to bring up a few more topics. So it'll be more on the line of what we're doing tonight. It'll be a roundtable discussion. So that's what's going on Wednesday. And so
Monday we're going to have Linda Shorter.
Yeah. So, yeah, Linda Shorter on Monday for Conscious Corner. And we already have that locked in. And the topic will be, I know it has something to do with inventions. So, and then it's wellness also.
Yeah, inventions that contribute to health, good health.
Yeah. So?
Black inventions,
yeah. So this was a very healthy discussion here, people, and we're going to keep doing it. And I'm glad everybody showed up. Thanks for coming, Brother Cal. It was good having you. And don't hesitate to come back whenever, on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Okay, I will. I enjoyed it. I always enjoy learning, getting knowledge from you guys, and just a different viewpoint. And to be able to speak speak my mind. So I thank you.
Yeah, we welcome it.
We appreciate your contribution, Brother Kyle.
All right. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a good evening.
All right. Well, Rashi T, what'd you think? You on mute?
Yeah, well, it was good.
Well, yeah.
Oh, man.